you arrived in New York City in the late 90s, a native of Tel Aviv. You had already set the course of your career in music. I believe you had been in the Israeli Air Force band. I know you studied at the conservatory. You were well on your way to being a professional musician. It seems obvious that your parents must have been very encouraging in your career. In fact, I understand they never really questioned the musical path that you chose. I'm wondering, was there ever any doubt in your mind about a career in music?
No, there's never been a doubt. And it's not because I decided from a young age that I'm going to be a professional musician and that's what I wanted to do. It's just, it is as simple as that's simply what we did at home. I don't think I would be where I am without my two brothers. And because my older brother is a musician and my younger brother is a musician, both Yuval and Avishai are fantastic jazz players and composers and band leaders. And we went through all the schools and afternoon bands and big bands and just everything we did together in the house. So all our friends were people that we met them on the bandstand or we met them rehearsing and practicing. So it became my life from a very early age. It was just a natural choice to, you know, continue what I've been doing.
You're fluent in Hebrew and your English is impeccable. Do you consider music another language?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think it's the beautiful thing is just like English when people have different accents, but they speak the words, and sometimes they create their own way of saying things, and music is the same. I mean, there are only Western music anyway, 12 notes, and then there's other rhythms, and they're in-between notes, but everybody find a way to express themselves. It's basically if someone wants to communicate through music, then they will communicate, and it's just like speaking a language. You're looking at another person and you're speaking notes and other people listen to you, and if they're open enough to say something back and they have the skills to know how to connect what they feel and what they hear and how to play it, then it's just like a language and it communicates. It's an international language, just like love.
There's an interesting quote I read that you said, "I never knew I was a woman in jazz until I came to the United States." It's about marketing, definitions, and categories. I'm curious if you could elaborate on that a little more and if you still feel that way.
Well, yeah, I still, in a way, feel like that. The complexity of being a woman in music, the history is definitely proving that it's a male-dominant field, and women in the past have had to work so hard to be accepted by men and be on the road was a very tough situation for most women. And there are women that they had to suffer through, you know, their career in order to just play music that they love. You know, there's the other element that music really does not have any gender or age or color or religion. And the thought about music growing up, because I grew up with my brothers playing music, it was just something we did in the family. I wasn't thinking, I'm a woman, they are men, they were my brothers. And I had friends, female and men, that were playing music and jazz. So I wasn't thinking about the history, and I never realized that all my idols have been men. I'm listening to, you know, Coleman Harkins, listening to John Coltrane, listening to Dexter Gordon, and then it took me many years for someone to tell me, have you realized that all your idols are men? And I said, no, I haven't realized it. Never came across this whole gender issue until I came to the United States. You know, marketing is really became the essence of this whole industry. And what about just defining your music? Mm. You know, what if you're just a guy, you know, an average-looking guy that play music that is hard to define, and people say, okay, how are we going to market you? And we have to name your music, what kind of music you play. Sometimes people ask me what kind of music I play, and it's hard to, sometimes you can't really put the finger on one specific thing. So I say, well, if you can't describe it, you can't market it.
I was just listening recently to Notes from the Village, your recording on Anzac mm-hmm. Records, and you've really broken down a lot of these distinctions, which probably makes the people that do the marketing crazy. Can you describe the inspiration for Washington Square Park?
Sure. I was used to live next to Washington Square Park, and I love the fact that you walk around the park and on weekends, and people just go and practice at the park. They either get together with friends or they practice on their own, and there's a little jazz group with bass drums and saxophones, and then there's like two guitar players playing, you know, some American folk music, and then there's like some people, you know, one day there's someone brought a piano, just playing solo piano in the park, and then I was walking around, there was a kora playing, which is the African harp, and I just sat in front of this guy playing the kora, and the concept for the song was, it starts with this kind of idea that I had when I listened to him playing from the African sounds, and then the way the park works, when you just get up from listening to one person and you walk around and one sound fades out and another sound fades in, and that's basically what's the inspiration for Washington Square Park.
Has involved an amazing network of musicians. Within this network, there seems to be a perception for some that jazz is the musical backdrop. Do you still consider yourself a jazz musician?
Absolutely. I mean, I love the way you describe it, and the access, the fact we have access to information, and it's just easy to just go online and just watch some people, you know, in Mali playing, and you're like, oh wow, I love this rhythm, let's just incorporate that. So things have definitely, the world has gotten smaller, but if you think about the history of jazz, and when people say that, you know, jazz started in New Orleans, it was a melting pot for cultures and sounds, and people just meeting in, and you know, when Dizzy Gillespie played Manteca and incorporated all the Latin music, then he was a jazz musician. Nobody asked him if he's playing jazz. If Charlie Parker played Tico Tico, which is actually a choro, nobody asked him if he's playing jazz. So jazz is world music. But what really makes it jazz is not the sound of the music as far as the instrumentation. I think it's the musicians that play it. That they are what make it jazz or not. Because if someone is being in the moment, playing music, creating something, even if you have a rhythm that is based on somewhere else, you can still incorporate jazz, which for me, it means improvisation, interaction, pushing the envelope, exploring, and be able to communicate with people that want to communicate with you. And for me, that's what makes something jazz.
Your appearance at the Walton Arts Center on December 9th will not only be your first appearance in Arkansas, as far as I know, but it will be preceded by a meet and greet at Temple Shalom. And just for those who are not aware, Temple Shalom was just built a few years ago in late 2006, a Palestinian-born American Muslim from Arkansas reached out to help the local Jewish community build a synagogue right in the heart of the Bible Belt at no charge. He wanted to make a statement. It's made national news. It was in the New York Times. It was in the Washington Post. There's been a documentary made. You have graciously agreed to come in a day early to spend an evening meeting the community and discussing your life in music. And this is free and open to the public. What can we expect to hear from you when you perform here?
We're going to play some swinging music. We're going to play, for sure, something from Brazil. We're going to make a journey, and we're going to be, it's going to be swinging and intimate and fun.
You'll be in an intimate environment. You're in the Star Theater at the Walton Arts Center, which seats about 160 people, and it's a great venue for music, and everyone's looking forward to it. I can't thank you enough, Anat, for taking the time to talk with me today.
It's absolutely my pleasure, Robert.